Welcome to Module 6, Barriers and Roadblocks. In this module, we aim to identify and build a preemptive response plan for potential barriers, including shame activators and stressors, both in and outside of your control. Doing the work upfront to plan for inevitable distraction, stress, and pain will make it easier to counteract these barriers and continue down the road to pursuing your dreams and goals. Now, the critical point is that interruption is inevitable. And what an excellent opportunity to practice radical acceptance. Whether it's your kid getting sick and having to be brought home from daycare, unplanned or spontaneous changes in your schedule, a lack of or fleeting support or buy-in from others in your life for the work that you're doing, or your shame and anxiety, trying to find new ways to impede your bravery and vulnerability. All of these things are going to happen. You can't stop life from moving forward the way that it will, nor condition out the uncertainty with planning rigidity and willfulness. So rather than waiting until it does, let's get clear on what's most likely to happen. Distinguish what is and isn't in your control and develop your resilient response plan. Otherwise, all that's waiting is a hefty dose of decision fatigue mixed with reactivity and shame. So let's think about this. What's going to get in the way? What'll happen, even if we can't say when or exactly how? It's important to consider each of the four pillars of your TFAC and consider it in the context of different roles and goals. What thoughts are going to impede you in your work to increase assertive communication? What effect will your coworkers and maybe your supervisor have on your ability to set more explicit boundaries and maintain them? What actions might get in the way of or maybe take up space that you wish could go towards other goals and focal points? What already has? We'll also consider the impact of your TME portfolio at a given moment to factor in context. So, for example, decision fatigue or the inability to make constructive or rational decisions due to a depletion of energy and willpower is a state-dependent or context-driven experience. We know that in moments of burnout and fatigue, when TME resources are low, the choices we make will often result in avoidance, numbing, or detachment. It's helpful to consider when and how we can plan for moments of more significant TME expense or depletion, the role that these investments play in your life, and how we can address or work around them. So, for example, it may not be reasonable to expect that when you have family in town for the holidays and lots of plans and activities for you and everyone else to do, that you're going to have a few hours to yourself every day. It may not also be when you're going to be in the best state of reflection and contemplation. So what role does flexible grace, boundary setting, and planning play in making sure that you don't create unrealistic expectations for yourself, while also being diligent about your time and energy investments and making changes in how you engage with those higher TME demand times as a whole? So in the first portion of your worksheet, your job is to make as exhaustive a list as possible for these potential roadblocks. Again, consider things in and outside your control, and internal and external activation points. Consider small TME takes, such as your family interrupting you when you're trying to focus on work, and big TME takes, such as your shame and fear working overtime to try and introduce self-doubt and stop you from saying, thinking, and doing the things that are going to best serve you. Like your initial externalization practice in phase one, set a timer here and give yourself about 20 minutes to think about this. What do we know will happen because we've already experienced it? What are we most afraid of will happen? And if we don't address it, we'll just get stuck ruminating on it for the next 6 months. What parts of life are unavoidable, unplannable, and out of our control? So here's an example of items that I came up with just doing a 5-minute sit this morning. So first off, whether or not I have a reaction to the next COVID booster. Everly having a hard day, being sick and having to stay home or coming home from school, or maybe being in a position where she needs a little bit more of my time and attention in a given day. Real or perceived lack of support from loved ones, especially Jordan. The fear that I'll upset people or be perceived as selfish, or face other people's disappointment when I do make choices that are incongruent with what they want or how they think or feel in support of the choices that I need to make for me. comments from people in my life whose approval has taken way more of a priority over my own and has in the past led me to choose a path that I didn't want to take just to make them happy or as an attempt to get their approval. And all the negative self-talk and shame that just devours my time and energy and leaves me feeling undeserving, ill-prepared, and incapable of doing the work that I want to do. You can't do this. Who do you think you are? Do you really think this is going to work or that you deserve these things? You should be further along by now. I can't believe that you're teaching other people these things and yet you're still struggling. And the list goes on. There's also the belief that I'm letting others down when I make myself a priority or giving my TME to others at my own expense as a part of my shame narrative and then feeling resentful that I'm not able to do the things that I set out to do to begin with. Having my schedule filled with other obligations, not making rest an active part of my day, and the choices that I need to do or make, and then getting burnt out when I get to those points where I actually have time. My tendency to be rigid and inflexible with my work demands and tasks. Unplanned TME demands such as car problems or a family emergency. Having particularly unexplainable low energy or motivation and the shame that's associated with this. The drive for hyperconnectedness and giving time and energy to things at like, I don't know, my email at the expense of my actual work goals and dreams. Getting stuck in the easy tasks or quick checkoffs versus the longer projects and processes. Now you can see what comes up for me just in 5 minutes is internal and connected to my shame. It brings up the focus on mindset being a significant factor in the work that we do and the action we take and a necessary part of this preemptive planning process. Second, and once you've completed this list, we need to dive deeper into why for each of these barriers. Why will these things affect you? Why are they a problem? Why do we care? Don't just stick to the surface why, but go deeper. How will it affect the TME that you have available for the work? Why will it be an issue? And this will also consider the domino effects of X. So how do you typically respond when these things happen? Do you avoid, numb out, shame dump? And when you do that, how does it work for you? How does it leave you feeling, both physically and emotionally? Does it provide any support? Were there more dominoes that fell and made your TME even more difficult to realign? So for example, sure, Everly being sick and being home with me might be a stressor to my TME. But it's more than this. It's about the shame spiral and anxiety pressure that shows up in response or sort of the domino that falls. Suddenly I start feeling like I shame dump on myself for not being further ahead or pushing back a timeline. I'll feel the pull to try and multitask or maximize every moment that she's napping or taking a potty break instead of just being present with her and taking my own time to rest in between because having a sick kid is not a picnic for me either. I struggle to accept the change in plans as a change in TME expenses and try to stretch time and make it so that I can still do everything I had planned in addition to being with her. From here, we'll use our radical acceptance practice to consider everything in your control and everything that isn't regarding each issue. So for example, if I consider one of the barriers that I listed above, having my schedule filled with other obligations, there's a suggestion that my schedule is outside of my control. And as such, its filling is outside of my control. We've all done this. I have to go to this meeting. I have to take my car in for an appointment this afternoon. I have to go grocery shopping. I'm supposed to get on this call or I'm supposed to do Y. I have to pick up my prescriptions. But the interesting thing here is how quickly we relinquish control of something entirely in our control. How and to what extent you fill your schedule is completely in your control. What's not in my control are the asks other people make of my time. Whether in the form of a text, an email, a meeting request, an invitation, an expectation of somebody else's. But my response to these tasks is in my control. And if you're arguing, okay, sure, but I have to have food, have to take my prescriptions, I have to get my oil changed. Yeah, sure, you need to eat and take medications that support your health and well-being. Absolutely, taking care of your car is vital to maintain its safety and long-term usability. You still get to choose how you structure your time. You still get to determine whether or not you accept that meeting request. You still get to decide whether or not you head out to drinks after work with your coworkers, even if you already had it on your calendar. If time demands and schedules change all the time in ways that are outside of our control, we also have to take power and responsibility of knowing that we get to make edits as well. Because the reality is, constantly putting yourself in a position to see your life and time as out of your control does nothing but reinforce the notion that other people, asks, and events are more a priority than your own. Now, I will say that you'll likely feel a little stuckness or kind of this residual angst in this step. Again, the idea of radical acceptance and anchoring on what is in our control requires grief and letting things go. It requires an inner peace that can be hard to develop and maintain and is essential to consider in how we show ourselves and others kindness in this individuation process. Once you've done this and really developed your understanding of what is and isn't in your control, especially as it relates to mindset and approach, we'll look at how we can reframe each thought, situation, or relationship. Is there a different way to think about it? Can you write a different end result? So, for example, when I feel unsupported by someone or they seem disappointed by my making a choice that best serves me, instead of seeing it as tension or conflict or something to avoid, could I see it as an invitation for deeper connection and understanding? Could I allow this to be an opportunity to reflect on my why? Can I celebrate that I'm in a position of self-worth and love wherein I can make these choices knowing that it isn't my responsibility to take care of everyone around me? Now, this calls on us to show grace and flexibility with ourselves and others and allows us to write a narrative within which we can show up differently to these stressors and barriers by leaning deep into our why for pursuing this goal and what we know to be true beyond our shame. So, for example, I listed giving my TME to others at my own expense as a part of my shame narrative and then feeling resentful I'm not able to do the things that I want to do as a primary concern. Even in the way I write about it, you can see that I see this as already happening. This belief is so intimately woven into my story that I haven't allowed it to be a possibility rather than a certainty. By clarifying why this is a concern for me and what is and isn't in my control, I can find the entry points to combat this feedback loop and create a different response. For example, in the past, I've given my time and energy to others at my own expense. This is because I have a strong shame narrative that suggests the only way to be a part of or worthy of connection is to always give myself to others. This has taken TME away from the things I want to do and who I want to be. While being a support for others is still a priority to me, giving my time to my own goals and pursuits is also important. They can both exist, and it's okay if I have to say no to or pull back from others to do this. Others might be upset that this is a part of the process to me living a more purposeful and fulfilling life. That's okay. That's not my responsibility to fix that for them, as I've done nothing wrong by making myself a priority. From here, we'll complete the fifth and final step of this process, building our response plan. Now, again, isn't it interesting to think about the goal of our module and all the steps to establish readiness and openness to complete the actual goal, which is this part right here? This is just another reminder of why Band-Aid solutions are not as effective as one would like. So as you go through this step, I want you to ask yourself, given what's in your control, what can and will you do about it? Consider your internal response and external response. Are there thought challenges or mantras that you can use? Is there a way that you can communicate a boundary up front? Are there ways to focus on control and the idea of letting go of what isn't in your control to preserve TME that gets wasted in those efforts? Now, as you lay out these plans, you might notice that new insights arise where you might need to do more work or develop greater skills. Much of the work we'll need to do to put these plans in place is going to be covered in phase 5, where each module works with you through practical implementation skills, such as boundary setting and cognitive reframing techniques. So as you go through this part here in phase 4, take inventory of anything that we still need and add it to our gap analysis so that we know what we need to do to move from point A to B, and bring that with you into phase 5. You'll also notice things that you've already developed the skills to do and address and can begin to put those things into practice now. I'll point out, though, that shame will be front and center throughout this exercise. Shame wants you to fall into the distress trap. Shame will try and sell you on the fact that nothing is in your control but giving up. Shame wants you to feel so overwhelmed with fear and uncertainty that you convince yourself to stick with fine and complacency. Remind yourself that the intensity of your shame matches the depth of work you have and will continue to do. Keep trudging forward. When it gets too intense, use your supports and offload some of that narrative. When you start to feel tunnel visioned, turn to your self-care practice. Take control of feeling out of control and show up for yourself in the moment. In the next module, we'll explore outsourcing and team building, or building our list of resources available to us to support us in this work. This will also help you move through some of the residual shame of this module, in that we build our support network to remind ourselves that even though shame is trying to sell us on the idea that we are alone, we are and deserve anything and everything but. All right, let's get to it. Download your worksheet and start brainstorming. And when you're ready, I will see you back here for Module 7.